Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll talk fantasy football with Paul Charchian in about 25 minutes. Help you set your lineups for the weekend. And as always, just get ready for this football weekend. In fact, in a little bit, tonight's Thursday night football game may not be like the sexiest matchup, but there could be a couple of jobs on the line tonight. We'll get to that in a little bit. Lee Sterling will join us an hour from now, and we will get his picks for this football weekend. And in a few moments, could Deshaun Watson actually be on the move over the next week? We'll get to that in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. You can listen to the show live from anywhere in the world through the app, but also on demand. The podcasts are also available at any time in the app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Today is National Get to Know Your Customers Day. Now, I would not refer to you as a customer, but similar idea. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays, or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. Oh, hold on. We got an update in the wrestling world. With the crown jewel going on in Saudi Arabia for WWE today. That's right, Rick.
Okay, WrestlingInc.com reports Edge has defeated Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell match.
Wow, they're throwing out a Hell in a Cell match, and early, too, only an hour into this thing. They're pulling out all the stops for Saudi Arabia. Now, is this a common thing? Like, were they there recently with an event?
They've been going there at least once a year for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. That's pretty cool. So it's obviously nighttime there. Is it tonight? Like, are we...
I think they're seven or eight hours ahead of
us. Yeah, they're ahead. Yeah, okay. So this would be their Thursday night, our Thursday afternoon. If you're a wrestling fan, that's pretty cool. With some wrestling going on here in the afternoon, if you're watching while listening. And if not, we're here to update you with our Ric Flair woos to let you know.
And Bobby loves it.
Of course. This is his favorite show of the whole year. He's so excited right now. Will Deshaun Watson actually be moved over the next week plus? We closed out last hour talking about quarterbacks. Someone on the text line asked about the Panthers and their quarterback position. This is not really the year to need a quarterback in the sense of the draft. Could be a good year to need a quarterback in the trade market. Because depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson, he could be available this offseason. Aaron Rodgers, we believe, is going to be available. Maybe Russell Wilson, the way this season is going, if he was unhappy last year, why would he be any happier this year? I think Russell Wilson could be made available this offseason. So, and David Tepper's a very aggressive owner for the Panthers, so the way to go for them, like they just did with Sam Darnold, it may be to go trade for a proven commodity already at the quarterback position. But if you're looking for a quarterback in the draft, I got some bad news for you. You're probably in trouble this year. No quarterback, as of today, is expected to go in the top 10 of the draft, which hasn't happened since 2013, and I listed those names for you. Go back and look at it. No franchise quarterbacks. No good NFL quarterbacks. E.J. Manuel was the only first-round quarterback, and then Geno Smith, who is still playing, oddly enough, right? Started for the Seahawks Sunday Night Football. He'll be back out there this Sunday. But those were the top two quarterbacks. Not a good draft class. So you don't want to rely on trying to get your quarterback of the future in this draft because I don't know if he's there. Maybe a Matt Corral. I like Matt Corral a lot. I don't know how well he translates to the NFL. Malik Willis, similar. I have some concerns. And hasn't been playing as well lately. Plus, you always wonder about the level of competition, fair or otherwise, going up against the schools playing at Liberty instead of playing in the SEC. Sam Howell, I really liked, and I think he's got all the tools, but he's been really disappointing this year. That's a concern. Why the step back as a senior? Now, you want to see these guys continue to get better, not in their final year take a big step back. But I think just from a tool standpoint, you get him on an empty field with the other quarterbacks. I think Sam Howell probably is the most impressive looking one in just his size, the way he throws the football, everything that comes with it. But this is not going to be a great draft to rely on trying to find your next quarterback. It could be, as I mentioned, in the trade market. Speaking of quarterbacks that could be traded, Deshaun Watson. His name is brought up again as a potential trade over the next week. The trade deadline is November 2nd, less than 2 weeks away. Now, John McClain, who we've had on the show multiple times, does a great job covering the Houston Texans and just reporting on all NFL matters based out of Houston. And he's not the type of guy that's going to put something out there just to make some noise. If John McClain is putting it out there, he has a reason to put it out there. He's done it for 40 years. He's really good at what he does. He's highly respected. We've had many conversations with him here on the air. So he tweeted out that a trade could happen in the next week between the Texans and the Dolphins. Now, I always hate the use of that word for reports like this because you could say that about everything. I could put that out there, right? The Red Sox could win the World Series. Yeah, I mean, they could. It's unlikely at this point. They're going to have to come back and beat the Astros. Then they're going to have to go win the four games in the World. Like, they could. Sure, they could. Any of the four. The Dodgers, I could put out a quote-unquote report today that the Dodgers could still win the World Series this year. Well, of course they could still. They're still alive. How likely is it? So, whenever we talk about these reports, but they include the word could, you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. Of course, the Dolphins could trade for Deshaun. Trade deadline is still 2 weeks away. You still have 2 weeks to pull it off. They've had conversations, reportedly, before. We know Deshaun's not happy there. We know Miami could use an upgrade at the quarterback position. Of course, they could trade for him. How likely is it? That's the real question. But McClain put this report out there, and so now it's becoming a conversation again in the last 24 hours about Deshaun Watson, if he could be moved, or will he be moved? He certainly could, you would think. Here was Adam Schefter was on, I think this was NFL Live. He was on ESPN yesterday and was asked about this, about Deshaun Watson potentially being traded. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say.
And I think that continues to be the situation, Field. I think we are closer to the trade deadline, 13 days away. And so if there were a deal that were going to happen, it would have to come this or next week. And these two sides have had discussions. And at various points, various people have thought a deal is going to happen, only to not have it happen. And again, you're going to have three different parties sign off on this deal because Deshaun Watson has no trade. So he'd have to be good with going to Miami, which I think he would be. The Dolphins would have to be good with what they'd be giving up. And the Texans, of course, would have to be good with the compensation they'd be getting back. Look, a Dolphins-Texans deal has been in play all along. John McClain has said it could happen this week, and that's certainly possible. We'll see the timing on this right now. But this is something that's also been out there for quite some time, and we'll just have to see if it does indeed get done by the trade deadline 13 days from now. He still faces also situations, 22 lawsuits regarding sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior that have prevented him from playing this season as well. Field, he's denied those accusations, but that has also hung over Deshaun Watson as these trade talks have been going on.
And it's still there. Nothing has changed there. So I don't know why now, like, okay, yeah, we'll trade for Deshaun. I guess because the Dolphins are more desperate, and here's the trade deadline, so this is your last chance to try to work out a trade until the offseason. But nothing has changed with this situation. Why would you feel more comfortable trading for him now than at the start of the season? I would have wanted to, and it shouldn't happen. As Schefter said, there are three people that have to sign off on this, both teams and Deshaun because he has a no-trade clause. There should be a fourth, and it should be the NFL, and they should put the kibosh on any sort of deal. I've been consistent with this from day one. Deshaun shouldn't even be on the active roster. He should be on the commissioner's exempt list. And I think this is crazy that we're still having these conversations here as we approach the trade deadline about will he, won't he, are the Dolphins going to pull off a trade? Imagine if he does get traded and he goes and starts playing for Miami. I think it's a bad look. And if he does get traded to the Dolphins and the Dolphins say, okay, he's going to start for us next week, is that the point in which Roger Goodell finally steps in now that he's about to take the field and say, whoa, hold on, wait a minute? And if that's the case, then obviously you can't allow a trade to happen. These teams, I'm sure, have gotten some sort of indication from the league because you're not pulling off a trade like this if you don't think he's going to play for you at all. And I just think it's lousy. I mean, other guys have been suspended for far less. or at least held out until you got more information. That's the key here. Deshaun is innocent until proven guilty, but you have to wait to see how this plays out, because it's going to be a bad look if he's playing in games and a few months from now found guilty on all these counts and has some sort of punishment. And you look back at the NFL and say, we knew about this stuff. You let him still play, and then, you know, then he was guilty of it all. Was proven to be, if true, right, proven to be a really terrible person. And you allowed him to go out there and play. Innocent until proven guilty. But you have to wait until you get the final information here, until you get something, some sort of determination, instead of putting him out there when we don't know what could happen. And if I'm the Texans, you'd rather trade him. Well, I should say if I'm the Dolphins, you'd rather trade for Deshaun. No, I guess if I'm the Texans, I would rather trade for him at the end of the year, because then you know where teams stand in terms of draft picks. You know, like the Dolphins, their draft pick looks pretty good right now. But if you send them Deshaun Watson, they should win a few more games by the end of the season, and then you're not getting as good of a draft pick. Whereas if you trade him in the offseason, you know, okay, here's the draft order, here's what we can get. Instead of trading him now and hoping, like, oh, I hope they lose some more games and we get a good draft pick out of it. But maybe this is the Texans trying to unload him because they're fearful of what may be down the road. I don't know. I don't know if he will get traded. I still find it hard to believe Deshaun Watson would get traded before the trade deadline of November 2nd. But if the Texans move him now when they weren't willing to before, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You only do that if you want to really, truly, finally unload him and get this whole situation off your hands, even though of late it's been pretty silent. It's not like it's been much of an issue, it seems, for the Texans, much of a distraction, at least not from the outside looking in. And if I'm the Dolphins, I would rather have Deshaun than Tua. Deshaun is definitely the better quarterback. I have a lot of concerns about Tua. The Dolphins are a huge disappointment this year. Their GM is already on the hot seat. But still, nothing has changed since the start of the year, and I said the same thing then. How can you trade for this guy when you have no idea what his future is? What you would have to do is set up some sort of trade like we haven't seen before, you know, with some sort of fallback. That if he does get punished in the offseason, if he is found guilty, you know, maybe we get a draft pick back. Or we don't send you a draft pick until we know how long he's going to play. I think Nick Wright on Fox Sports had the idea that you send a draft pick for every year he plays for you, something along those lines. You'd have to do some sort of provision like that. You know, for each season we have him, we'll send you an additional pick. But we're not going to give you three picks up front if he's not going to be available as soon as next year. I don't know how you could still work out a deal. I get teams are desperate. They need quarterback upgrades. Chris Greer in Miami's probably only concerned about right now because he may lose his job at the end of the year. He doesn't care if Deshaun is unavailable next year and they wasted all those draft picks. He may not be there anyways. I get a lot of that, but I still don't understand how you can move this guy right now. I still don't understand how we can even be talking about a trade. He should be on the commissioner's exempt list, removed from everything. All storylines, any thoughts, any sort of conversations until the legal situation plays out this offseason. But that's just me. I still find it hard to believe he'd be moved between now and the deadline. But if he is traded, yeah, I could see why the Dolphins would be interested. It's also why I said, too, these next couple of weeks are going to decide his career, at least in Miami. You just lost to the Jaguars. Now, Tua played really well, but you lost to the Jaguars, who haven't won a game all year. You got beat by a rookie, right, by Trevor Lawrence, who came into the league after you. Not a great look. And they have some easy opponents the next couple of weeks. If you're Tua, not only do you have to play well, but you got to win some games as well. He may not be the problem in Miami, but I don't think he's the answer either. They have a lot of problems, and he's not the type of guy to be able to carry you to the victories. He's not the truck. He's more of the trailer. And the Dolphins right now need more help around him, or maybe an upgrade at the quarterback position. Deshaun would be an upgrade, but with all that baggage, I don't know how you can make that move for him. We'll find out, though, between now and the trade deadline on November 2nd. We'll catch up with Paul Charchian in about 12 minutes to talk fantasy football. But when we come back, the weekend of NFL begins tonight with Thursday Night Football. Not the greatest matchup on paper, but a couple of jobs could be on the line tonight. And we'll get to that next. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Couple of jobs may be on the line tonight for Thursday Night Football. It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll preview this weekend of football coming up in just a few minutes with Paul Charchian. But it begins tonight with the Browns and the Broncos. Not the greatest matchup, but a couple of jobs could be on the line on both sides. For the Cleveland Browns, they're all banged up. They're down their two best linemen, probably the two best receivers. They are without their two best running backs and now without their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Case Keenum will be starting tonight. And it'll be the first start in quite some time for Keenum, but he's reunited with Kevin Stefanski, who was with him in 2017 in Minnesota when he had that career year. So he should be familiar with the offense. He's a veteran. I imagine he'll be – he may not play great, but I think he'll be ready to go. He'll be okay. And for Baker Mayfield, I don't think Case Keenum's going to steal his job. But Baker hasn't played great this year. And we know the contract is up. And now he's injured, and he has the shoulder issue, which it's been described to me that he's going to need surgery eventually. It's just, in the meantime, a pain management thing. Can you get through the season playing with the pain and push off the surgery till the offseason? He dislocated his shoulder, and he's re-injured it, and it's going to be a nag thing. It's just, can you get through it? He's unable to play this week on a short week. They're hoping to avoid surgery during the season because that would obviously force them to miss some time. Can you get through it this year? But the question will be in terms of money that you have to owe Baker Mayfield. Are you going to give him the big contract by year's end? And if Case Keenum goes out there and plays well, again, I don't think Case Keenum will be your answer. But the problem with the Browns is that they're not a quarterback-driven team, so it's hard to pay the quarterback that type of money when that's not your style of play, when you need that money to put enough pieces around him elsewhere. It's hard to invest so much into the quarterback when they're not the guy, driving the ship. So if you see that Case Keenum plays well and you can win with an average quarterback like that, maybe you come back and think, hey, we don't need to invest this much in the quarterback. We can go get somebody else with all the pieces because the Browns may have the most talented roster in the NFL, and we could win with an average quarterback on an average salary with all these good pieces around him. On the flip side, the job could also be on the line for Vic Fangio tonight. Now, the Broncos are on the road. They're still underdogs, and it is a short week. But you're going up against a Browns team that, as I mentioned, is without their two best linemen, their two starting running backs, probably their top two wide receivers, their starting quarterback, and after a 3-0 start for the Broncos, they have lost three in a row. And I like Vic Fangio as a coach, but they have underperformed so far in his couple of seasons there in Denver. They just brought in a new GM this year who did not hire Fangio, and while he's a defensive coach and that defense was supposed to be really good, it's actually been a bit of a disappointment this year for the Broncos. The odds in Vegas for the first NFL coach fired, they have Matt Nagy number one of the Bears. Urban Meyer number two. Then Joe Judge, Brian Flores. Vic Fangio is not up there. But if you lose tonight, that's four straight losses for the Broncos. It'd be a loss to the Browns' B squad. It'd be a team that's been scuffling and not performing well enough under Vic. I think he's very much on the hot seat, and tonight could go a long way for him. He's got a veteran quarterback, I know, on the road in a short week, but you're going up against a depleted team when you're supposed to be a defensive team. The Broncos really need to win tonight and snap this three-game losing streak. If not, Vic could be in trouble here moving forward. We'll come back and preview this full weekend of NFL football and help you set your fantasy lineup with Paul Charchian when we return. It's the Moore Midday Show. Oh, hold on. We got to sneak in a wrestling update first. What do we got? What's going on?
Okay, in a match between the first time in a WWE match, first two Muslims have faced each other in Saudi Arabia, Riyadh's own Mansoor has defeated Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
And it gets even better.
Uh-huh.
Ali attacked him after the match.
Uh-oh.
A masked man comes up. Underneath the mask is Tarek Hamidi, who took a silver in karate for Saudi Arabia in this year's Olympics and kicked Ali to the head.
Huh, how about that? Big things going on in Saudi Arabia for the WWE with their crown jewel event.
And in Mansoor's hometown of Riyadh.
Wow. All right, well, now that we got that taken care of, we'll catch up with Paul Charchian to talk fantasy football when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Let's get right to it. This time every week, we get you set for the football weekend and help you set your fantasy football lineup with Paul Charchian, who joins us every week, owner and operator of GuillotineLeagues.com and on Twitter at Paul Charchian. And he's with us now. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Luke, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I wish I were more enthused about tonight's game, but
Yes. With that said, with all these players missing time, and I know the Browns running backs were a popular waiver wire pickup this week, who do you like, if anybody, for the matchups for this game tonight from a fantasy perspective?
Now, let's start on the Browns side. So the starting quarterback's out. The number one running back and number two running back are out. Your starting slot receiver's probably out. Odell Beckham's probably out. And nobody's even talking about it, but both starting tackles are probably out of this game. So just disaster for the whole offense for the Browns. And a tough matchup on top of it. I mean, so you don't even feel good about maybe doing some bye week dart throws here because Denver's ranked fourth in points allowed. They're 10th in pass defense. They're 4th in rush defense. So where do you go? I mean, Dearness Johnson's probably going to get a lot of work, and he looked okay last year, but Denver's one of the best run-stuffing defenses in the league. They've got this great linebacker named Alexander Johnson, who's great, and I can't get enthused about Dearness Johnson or anybody else. I just don't think there's enough talent left in this offense for the Browns to do much of anything here. Maybe a flyer on Donovan Peoples-Jones, if it turns out that OBJ can't go. So I don't, that's about it. There's just not – Brown side is bad news. And frankly, I don't even like the other side a lot either. Teddy Bridgewater coming off a terrible game. 3 interceptions and a fumble, which is the one thing he's known for not doing is giving away games with miscues. But, you roll all that together and, 4 turnovers. And Cleveland's a defense that's basically dominated mid-tier passers just like Bridgewater. They collapsed under – Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray, those guys are MVPs practically. So, everybody else doesn't do that well. I don't love the offense here. And, middling grades on Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Tim Patrick. It'll be Tim Patrick's last start, by the way. Jerry Jeudy should be back for the next game.
Yeah, well, that's good news at least. It's the lowest point total tonight for a reason, only about 41 for the over-under. So don't expect much in terms of offensive fireworks tonight. I got a nice email this morning from a listener who said that you really saved them with some suggestion on the waiver wire when we had you on at some point last year. But he said he's in dire need this weekend. As we talked last week, this is the buy apocalypse, as you labeled it. So I'm just going to tee you up, and you can unload as many names as you may have. But who on the waiver wire? So many buys. People are desperate. Who can they grab this weekend to help them out?
So I'm going to give you 5 right here. First, Jameis Winston is at Seattle, and Winston's available in 2/3 of leagues. He's been boom or bust. In his boom games, he's averaging 3.7 touchdowns. Hmm. That's amazing. And I'll take 3.7 touchdowns. And when he craps out, it's terrible at 0.5 touchdowns, half a touchdown per game. Fortunately, Seattle hasn't contained any passer. They're giving up 306 passing yards per game. So I like Winston a lot. I like his top receiver, Marquez Callaway. Strongly positive matchup. Seattle's been trying to patch together this terrible secondary all season. They've been trying Sidney Jones at quarterback. He's getting roasted. There's so many positives here for Marquez Callaway. Another guy you can go pick up, available in over half of leagues. If you need running back help, nobody wants to start a Houston running back, but we're desperate here, right? 6 teams are on bye. Mark Ingram got 16 carries, 18 carries the past 2 weeks. Granted, he did very little with those carries, but here comes Arizona giving up 130 rushing yards per game, 5 yards per carry. And that, 5 yards per carry, that puts Mark Ingram, if he's going to get another 18 carries, that's almost a 100-yard game. So, now I'm interested in Mark Ingram a little bit as somebody that could patch together in a bye week, maybe gets a 75 yards. And I'll give you one last guy. He's only available in about a third of leagues. But Chicago's wide receiver Darnell Mooney, their speed guy. It's a fascinating matchup between the Bears and the Buccaneers because the Bears don't pass. And Justin Fields in particular, only averaging 21 passes per game. And that's why he hasn't been fantasy startable. But Tampa sees the most passes, double that, 42 per game. So with the big uptick in passing that should be coming from Justin Fields, I like Darnell Mooney against this secondary that's already all beat up. Richard Sherman out, and he was the replacement for Carlton Davis, who's out. Sean Murphy Bunting out for the whole year. They're playing an undrafted free agent named D. Delaney, who's getting roasted at corner. So, I like Darnell Mooney with a nice game coming up on Sunday.
I know we're short on time this week, but before we let you go, on the flip side, is there a big name or two this week that some may want to depend on that you don't like their matchup so much?
Yeah, you know, there always are a couple of guys like that that you're like, well, you know, most weeks I kind of like you, but this week I'm more lukewarm. Let's look out for the whole Seattle backfield. That's the Monday night game, and this is a real trap spot for fantasy players, Luke, because all we know for sure is that Chris Carson's not going to be in it because he's on IR. Alex Collins is banged up. We don't know if he's going to be able to go or not. And if he can't go, then they go to like Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. But the problem is, no matter who's starting, New Orleans is an awesome run defense, giving up 2.8 yards per carry. So just let's put that whole Seattle running game on ice. And honestly, the passing game with Geno Smith is super dicey as well. The only guy that you feel particularly comfortable with is DK Metcalf, who has continued to get use with Geno Smith in there.
Well, perfect. We packed it in, everything you need to know for this weekend to have some help with everybody on bye. He's Paul Charchi, and on Twitter, @PaulCharchi, and check out GuillotineLeagues.com. Find your free player rankings, his free player rankings there, online, GuillotineLeagues.com, and we'll catch up with him again next week as well. Paul, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Luke. Bye-bye.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Paul Charchi. He's got to run this week, so a shorter conversation. But we hit the most important things. Tonight's game, who can help you this weekend with all these teams on a bye week, and who you may want to stay away from. So there you go. Appreciate it from Paul, one of the best in the business. Check out GuillotineLeagues.com. You can still join a Guillotine League today. I'm out of the one that Charch got me in, but I have another one. We're still going strong. And you could sign up and partake in a Guillotine League at GuillotineLeagues.com. It's a fun concept. Lowest scoring team each week gets cut, and the players then become available on the waiver wire where you have to bid for them. And follow Paul on Twitter as well, @PaulCharchian, for the latest insight and his information or suggestions for fantasy football. Yeah, I got a nice email from a listener this morning that said he really helped me out last year, and I forget the exact player he mentioned that Paul, you know, it's recommended picking up, and it worked out. But as this emailer said, you know, I need some help for this weekend. So hopefully Charch was able to help you out for this weekend in the brief amount of time we had him, because this is crazy. We have, you know, the bye week start now. You have six teams with a bye week this week, but they're good teams too. So it hurts for fantasy football. I checked my teams at the start of the week, and I saw, oh, my goodness, half my teams are on bye. I got to go pick up a whole new roster. And then from just a viewing perspective, if you're not a fantasy football player, you look at the matchups. There aren't a ton of great matchups in either college football or the NFL this weekend. I'll give you my tasty top five tomorrow. By the way, don't think I missed those comments about former Citadel defensive back Dee Delaney with the Buccaneers, who Charch likes that matchup for Darnell Mooney of the Bears going up against, because Delaney has been getting torched a little bit. Hopefully he gets it going Sunday for those Buccaneers against the Bears. The weekend begins tonight with the Broncos-Browns. And as I was saying last segment, a couple of jobs could be on the line in tonight's game. Maybe not necessarily tonight. I'm not telling you we're going to get a job change tomorrow morning, but this could start the beginning of the end, if it hasn't already, in a couple of spots. And number one, as I said, is Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't think it's going to be Case Keenum to take his job, but I do think you could see the writing on the wall if you're Cleveland moving forward. Like, hold on, wait a minute. Why are we going to invest all this money into this guy who still needs these pieces around him to win? Well, we could go out and have somebody like a Case Keenum, but it would have to be better, because Case Keenum's not a franchise quarterback. He's not a starting quarterback. You know, but somebody that you don't have to pay so much that could come in and win with everybody else around him. Because the Browns, on paper, when healthy, probably have the best roster in all of football. And there's a reason why they're still favored tonight. Now, they are at home on a short week, so that helps. But as Charch just laid out, they're down their best two linemen. They're down their starting quarterback. They're down their top two running backs. The defense hasn't been all that great the last couple of weeks. Beckham's out. Landry's supposed to come back tonight, but he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. And they're still favored against the Broncos. Both teams are 3-3. The Broncos have a veteran quarterback, a defensive head coach, and the Browns are still favored. Why? Because that roster is still that good. And yes, they're home on a short week. That helps. If this was in Denver, they'd be an underdog, but only by a couple of points. You're giving me Case Keenum and a whole lot of nothing, and they're still expected to beat the Broncos. Now, we pick every primetime game. I think I'm going to take the Browns tonight as a one-point favorite. It's almost a pick 'em, right? You're pretty much picking the winner. How often does a team win by one? I'll take the Browns at home, short week, with Keenum and all the other pieces to still win and cover the 1 point. and the point total is down to 40.5. This number has really dropped as the week has gone on. So it's one of those numbers that at this point you may want to stay away because it's not the best value. But I'd probably take the under as well. We've seen the unders come in consistently on primetime games, and that's a really low number. But couldn't you see this game being like a 17-10 or even, you know, 24-17? If you could find a 41, that's a push. So we're looking at, you know, maybe it's 21-17. That's the under. Are we going to see a lot of points tonight on a short week between these two teams with not a lot of offensive firepower? Jerry Jeudy's still out for the Broncos. Bridgewater's been banged up. And there's an old gambling, I don't know if you'd call it trick, more like a philosophy that they always say bet the lowest under and the highest over each week. Find the lowest point total and take the under. Find the highest one and bet the over, and you'll do pretty well. I don't know if that actually works out, but that's one of those old betting cliches that I always hear. Well, this is the lowest point total, so maybe you bet the under tonight as well. But I think the Browns win at home, and they really have to. You lose, and now you're under 500 with all sorts of injuries. But on the flip side, the job that may be more on the line here tonight or moving forward is that of the head coach of the Broncos, Vic Fangio. Now, I'm shocked that when you look at the odds in Vegas for the first coach to be fired, it's still Matt Nagy. And Urban Meyer is number two. I've been saying this all season. I do not think the Jaguars move on from Urban Meyer. If he leaves, it'll be his call. You do not hire him and then fire him after a year. Even if it's been a bit of disaster and there's been things off the field and all that sort of stuff, it hasn't been bad to the point that they have to separate themselves from Urban. And then you have Vic Fangio, who right now is 15-23 as head coach of the Broncos, hasn't had a winning season. In fact, his record has gotten worse each year. And this year they started 3-0. They've lost three games since. And if they lose tonight to a depleted Browns team, that's not a good look. They'd have four straight losses. They'd be under 500. You have a new GM who came in this offseason who did not hire Vic Fangio. The seat is already very hot for Vic. Tonight obviously wouldn't help. So we'll see what happens tonight for the Broncos and the Browns. I don't expect a lot of points. I think the Browns still win, and I think Vic, if he loses, start the conversations in Denver. But if the Browns play well and win, and maybe they move forward, and Baker, maybe he misses next week, and they play okay, and you know, you look at this team and say, why are we going to invest so much in the quarterback when we're not a quarterback-dependent team? We have all the other pieces. And I know you need that quarterback to win, but once you go all in on said quarterback, then you lose those other pieces, and Baker's not the type of guy that can win on his own. He needs those other pieces. It's a little bit of the chicken and the egg. Right? Baker has success because of the other pieces, and then you're going to pay him because he has success, and then you can't have those other pieces, and then there goes the success, and you know, it's a whole spider web. We'll see what happens tonight on Thursday Night Football to start the football weekend. Oh, we got another wrestling update from Saudi Arabia. WWE's Crown Jewel going on. I was just wondering, what's been going on there lately?
Okay, this just in. Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle have successfully defended their titles against AJ Styles and Almos.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, of course, they are collectively known as RK-Bro. Oh. You know, from the original Bro, uh-huh. Riddle. Yeah.
All right. So there we go. That's the latest from Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. We're keeping you up to date. All right, perfect. Coming up, Zion Williamson. The NBA season just began this week. No Zion Williamson yet. There are reports that he's now up to 300 pounds. There are photos online that make him look a lot puffier now than when he first came in the league, which was everybody's concern. But when we come back, which city may best suit Zion for his NBA career? We'll get to that next. It's the Maurer Midday Show. Right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Maurer Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Maurer Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up Hour 2 on a Thursday afternoon. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as our conversation with Paul Charchi in last segment, you can always find it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Charge gave you the lowdown on what to expect tonight, who to maybe avoid this weekend, and who you can pick up in a pinch with so many teams on a bye this weekend in fantasy football. You can find that conversation on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Nikki Six came out with a new book, so he's been doing like the media rounds. I should try to get him on here. But he was on Fox Sports Radio the other night, and he said that he loves football, and it was the reason why he would always put black stripes under his eyes to perform on stage, just like the football player, which I didn't know that was a thing he did. But he said that's where it originated from. He grew up playing football, and he said that in his new book, he made sure to get the plug in there. He talks about how important football was to him and how influential it was on his youth. But he said he's a big football fan. I bring all this up because in this conversation, he also said he grew up a Vikings fan. And he said for a long time, he would take a beating from everyone else in the band. And one day, somebody came up to him and asked him and said, how come you're a Vikings fan? And the people asking him said, we're from Minnesota. We're not even Vikings fans. We don't root for that team. And Nikki Six, I did not see his explanation, his answer for why he chose the Vikings. But he is apparently a Vikings fan. He's also the same guy that came out with the book called The Heroin Diaries. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt that his choice to become a Vikings fan, I mean, you can understand it. Who would ever want to willingly root for that team, speaking from experience? So Nikki Six, apparently a Vikings fan. Welcome to the club. We have Prince, Nikki Six. I don't know what other musicians may root for the Vikings. But, yeah, he was on talking about it on Fox Sports Radio. We'll have to try to reach out to his people. Zion Williamson, the NBA season began officially two nights ago, and then you had the full-blown opening night for everybody last night. There was a wild game at Madison Square Garden. I was watching that last night. Ja Morant had a crazy dunk last night to start his new season, already the early candidate for the dunk of the year. The Hornets had a crazy comeback to beat the Pacers, and LaMelo Ball was fantastic once again, 31 points. The NBA is off and rolling. But no Zion Williamson. Williamson is unavailable. There have been reports that he is now pushing three bills. And this, of course, was the concern for Zion when he came into the league, right? Trying to take care of himself. Will he put weight on? Yada, yada, yada. And when he first came into the league, he wasn't 300 pounds. I don't know what his weight was. And weight can be misleading, right? As they say, muscle weighs more than fat. It depends. If you weigh a lot, it depends how your body looks, how you can handle your body, yada, yada, yada. But for Zion, I don't know if you've seen the photos. They've made the rounds online, people comparing his photo for like the media day for the Pelicans, where they get all their players together and you take the photos and you hold the basketball, and you know, and then they use them on the video board or they use them for promotional materials or maybe on the website, whatever it may be. And if you compare, you can go find this online, the photo of Zion when he was a rookie and he was still ripped to Zion now, looks like he's had a lot of salt in the diet. Like, he's a little bloated, a little inflated just a couple of years in. Apparently pushing 300, unavailable, right? Has some injury issues, which he already did. That's a concern. And this was always the concern for Zion when he entered the league or when he was coming into the league, was taking care of himself. So we'll see how that plays out moving forward. But my thought was, I was curious, where would be the best place for Zion Williamson? You know, because the Pelicans have been, for lack of a better term, a disaster. That's too strong of a word, but it hasn't gone well with Zion. He's going to have his third coach in 3 years, and, you know, the NBA does everything they can to try to get them into the playoffs. They still can't get there. They haven't been a good team. Zion, when healthy, has played well, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And there's always been this speculation, this idea that he'll be the first one to leave instead of signing some sort of supermax, and he'll leave as soon as he can become a free agent. Now, if Zion is looking to go somewhere else, I think it's important that wherever your next destination may be, you have to choose a place that does not have good food. I think that's part of the problem with being in New Orleans. Fried food, some good food there in New Orleans, I don't think that helps. I think that's a bad spot to be if you're somebody trying to watch your weight. I don't think you want to go to New Orleans. Where would be a good place for Zion to go where if he cannot, say, control himself, if he does not have the ability to avoid eating certain things, well, no problem, because he's in this city that you don't have to worry about the food options there. You know, like you want to avoid Philadelphia with the cheesesteaks or the Philly taco where you put a cheesesteak inside a piece of pizza, wrap it up, and have it together. Ooh, making me hungry just thinking about it. I haven't had lunch yet. You want to avoid New York because there are so many options and good restaurants to eat in New York City, and they're on every corner, and there's millions of restaurants. You could get whatever you want. You could get good food, a lot of Italian food, pasta, right, can be heavy, a lot of bread, no good. You don't want to go to New York. Boston, you know, you get your crab, you get your lobster rolls, I should say, and your clam chowder. There's some decent options there in Boston. Obviously, like Miami. Miami's got some good food, plenty of good Spanish food, Cuban restaurants. And so too many good options in Miami. You want to avoid Miami. You got to look at the places like a Sacramento. I don't know what the food scene is like in Sacramento. I imagine it's not that great. In fact, Sacramento, they never signed free. People hate going to Sacramento to begin with. It's a bit of a boring town. So, you know, that could be good. For Zion, when he becomes, if and when he becomes a free agent, or if he ever gets traded, or if he ever gets moved somewhere, if I'm his people, I'm telling him, let's look at some places. Forget about the games. Forget about the roster and the team on the court. Let's look at the worst places for food. I'm looking at Sacramento. I'm looking at, you can't go to Milwaukee, right? Brats and beer, and no, that's no good. Got to avoid Milwaukee, right? You got to avoid, like, any of the Texas places with the different barbecue and such. Even I'd stay away from Memphis. But you have to look to, a Sacramento, maybe a Utah. What's Salt Lake City like for a food perspective, right? I'd maybe take a crack at Utah. Go to maybe, like, a Phoenix. Some place like that where you don't have to worry about the food. Avoid a Brooklyn. Avoid the Knicks. Oh, Cleveland. All right, Cleveland, that'd probably be a good spot to go if you're trying to avoid, you know, packing on some pounds with weight. I'd say avoid Orlando. Orlando is like the chain restaurant capital of the world because of all the tourists and everything. Stay away from Orlando and that food scene. But that's what you have to do if you're Zion Williamson. New Orleans is probably a bad fit for somebody trying to watch their weight.
Yeah, now Sacramento, of course, that's where some of the looniest people in the world try to congregate to try to run that state. So what do you expect?
Yeah, no good food options out there. Go there. Or Cleveland. Maybe a Toronto. I've been to Toronto. I don't know. But Canada, they got, what do they call it, that poutine? That stuff's really good.
A Kraft dinner.
Kraft dinners?
That's kind of their national dish, so to speak.
It?
Yes.
All right.
You haven't seen any of the Terrence and Phillip stuff on South Park, have you?
No, I have not.
Okay.
You know, maybe you go to an Indiana Pacers. You got to go to some of those boring cities that don't have all the great food options. If Charleston had a basketball team, Charleston would be out. You can't come play here, Zion. Sorry. There are just too many good options for you that you're going to push three bills eating out here every night after your games. Can't do it. Can't come to Charleston. Stay away from New York. Stay away from Texas and the barbecue and all those other great places. The Lakers, the Clippers, you can't go to L.A. You can't go to the big cities with all the different restaurants. You got to find some boring place in the middle of nowhere where you got nothing but like a TGI Fridays down the street, like a Cleveland, right? A mistake by the lake. You go there, you're not gonna have to be tempted by all the great food options.
And like you said, you know, Memphis, you know, because they have some good barbecue, and it's a good thing Kansas City doesn't have a team anymore.
Yes. Ask Andy Reid. All that good barbecue there. What about you spent time in Arizona? What about like the Phoenix Suns? Could you go to Arizona and get by okay, or there's some good food options out there?
Yeah, some of the restaurants that I went to out there, some of them are no longer around, so.
Just avoid Alice Cooper's restaurant.
No, that's right across the street from the arena.
Uh-oh.
Even if you don't get anything to, you know, eat, you can just hang out and look at all the sports and rock memorabilia.
But that's no good. I don't want a restaurant across the street either. He's going to be dipping out after the game, going to go get some Bloomin' Onions across the street. After a shoot-around, he goes off to sneak get a couple of tacos across the street, whatever it may be. That's no good either. I need an arena in the middle of nowhere with a city that doesn't have good food options. You're just going to go home, watch film, relax, and have a smoothie, have a protein shake. We'll see when Zion gets back out on the floor. We'll catch up with Lee Sterling when we come back for his picks of the football weekend. Hour 3 next. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
WTMZ, 98.9 FM, WTMZ, 910 AM and 94.7 FM, W234 CD, Dorchester Terrace, Brentwood, Charleston.